Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we are discussing What If Season 2, Episode 8. What if the Avengers assembled in 1602? All that and more for this that we have some amount of control over.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And with us today is our good friend J. Scotty St. Clair. What's up, J. Scotty?
Hark, tis I, J. Scotty.
I fully intended to introduce you guys as like Jeffrey of Nottingham or something. I don't know. And then I completely spaced and didn't do it.
Now, we actually went the opposite direction. Is somebody from the past came here.
Mm.
And it's still tearing the universe apart.
Yeah. Definitely is.
What's that green fissure happening overhead? It's ominous.
That looks weird. That's never happened before. I hope there's a hero around to save everybody.
It's probably some Christmas decorations somebody hasn't taken down yet.
More than likely.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry too much.
That is actually fireworks. Fireworks in the sky.
Or it's the episode 9, Butterflies in the Sky. Anyway.
We don't talk ahead.
We don't talk ahead. We're not talking ahead. I just mean butterflies. So,
1602.
We've been talking about this episode all season because it's kind of one of the ones that was featured a lot in the trailers, and we knew it was coming, and we'd already seen it introduced in the the Captain Carter episode.
And Jeff loves the 1602 story.
That's right. That's right. So, what did you guys think? How did it live up to the hype, Jeff?
It was a different take. It didn't go as expansive as 1602, like the Neil Gaiman run, but it was still like for the tools that they had to work with, I think they did a pretty solid job because they stayed within the confines of what we know about the MCU, you know, and what's been introduced. Because like there are concepts in the comics, like the mutants are not called mutants, they're called Witchbreed. Ooh. Like they've got gifts from the devil.
That's cool.
And like Magneto, Eric is Enrique. He's like Grand Inquisitor of the Spanish Inquisition.
Okay.
Like using the church as like a subterfuge to hunt down the witch breed, but like he is also one, so he's just getting them all together to his cause.
That's right. You went back and read 1602 yesterday, right? Didn't you say that?
I've reread most of it, yeah. And
I can tell.
I'm in the middle of book 8 on it, and
okay,
it's so good. I'd forgotten so much about it, but like I didn't want to spoil it because like the story that they had here was very similar. It's that, you know, Captain America in, you know, future time or whatever was fighting against a powerful force. You know, in the book, it was that like the Purple Man had taken over, like Kilgrave had taken over, was like president for life, and eventually like Captain America was the last one or one of the last ones that was fighting against him. And so he ordered him sent to the past, like eradicated from existence, like no ashes left to even build a memorial with, nobody to remember him, like completely gone. So he sent him to the past into 1602 in the 616 timeline. And because of the way that he was sent back in time, instead of it being like any of the multitude of other ways time travel has happened, because of that, it's like it punched a hole through like the continuum and like damaged the fabric of space and reality. and like that caused it to start collapsing on itself.
Yeah.
Much the same way that it happened here.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. And it even is the same character that ends up being the forerunner, yep. they call
yeah.
it. That's cool. That's neat. Well, so getting to the episode that they presented us here, what did you guys think? What did you think, Jay Scotty, of the overall, like, the characterizations and the way they combined things, and what did you think?
Yeah, so we recorded for episode 7 yesterday, and I kind of opened my thoughts with that one by saying it was kind of sandwiched between two of my favorite episodes of What If ever. And that was coming off of the heels of a first watch. And I do like this episode a lot, but I think the novelty wore off a little bit on a second viewing. But that being said, it's still a lot of fun. And I use the word fun, and fun gets tossed around a lot these days as kind of like, you know, there wasn't a lot there, but it was fun. But I really mean like this episode was a lot of fun. It like took the familiarity of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and kind of turned it on its head in a really fun way. So that being said, I do think it's a super enjoyable episode, but I don't know how much it holds up on a rewatch.
Yeah. I also grabbed a lot of elements from just this series, you know,
sure,
with obviously yeah. Captain Carter and Uatu and Superior Strange and Hela being so involved, which, so that, you know, Hela has been involved in a lot of episodes this season. And I found myself thinking about it, and I was like, I feel like maybe they included certain characters because they were already going to have the voice talent available. Like, right. You know what
like
I mean?
They could like get Kate Blanchett, and they're like, "Yeah, let's use it."
But
let's
did use she even speak times. In this episode? I she just like, really. Grunts and stuff. So I don't even think it was Kate screams. Blanchett. And they did it earlier on in the season with Loki as well. When you saw like Captain Carter and Black Widow going up against Loki, he never said anything. And it's like,
oh, really?
You kind of get used to that in animation sometimes. It's easier just to show a character, and if they don't have to deliver dialogue and you don't have to pay that, you know, that actor, you can get away with it.
Yeah, right. For sure. And I thought that it was her. I think she screams as she's getting taken up into the sky.
Yeah.
This is just a big Kate Blanchett sounding scream, and I just assumed it was her. I assumed they may be like, hey, Here's this much money to be in an episode of What If. Also, you're going to lead like 4 other lines, and we're going to drop you throughout the season. You know.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We got some big episodes involving you, but we also need this little sprinkling.
Yeah.
Just a little smattering.
I thought it was interesting cuz you mentioned it last week that or I think last episode that Hela is not a character that we talk a lot about revisiting. Jay Scott, you mentioned that, but it's interesting because they do revisit her a few times in the season.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Definitely just the back half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was disappointed that I couldn't be there for that episode because I was so here for Hela the White.
I bet. I knew that as soon as that one was... I knew when I saw that it was going to be an Asgard-centric episode, I was like, oh, Jeff should have been here.
Damn it. Damn it.
We held off for 1602 so Jeff could be included. But
Thank you for that.
I am curious, Jeff, with your knowledge of the comic line, was the fact that Steve ended up being the forerunner, was that something that you predicted? Because I found myself like, I didn't really know who it was going to be. I think on a rewatch, there were some hints that kind of hinted who it was going to be. But I found myself like wondering, oh, is Kahori going to appear in this episode? And, you know... Having her not appear wasn't like disappointing. I think it worked for the story that they were going to try and tell, having, you know, Captain Carter be the central character here.
I was thinking that it was going to be Captain Carter was the problem.
Oh, okay.
Because like in the comic, you know, Steve eventually tells like how he got sent back in time and like, and that had like caused ripples through the timeline or whatever. But like, I would like more of a story from like his perspective and like those first few years, because he was in America for like 3 years before actually like making contact with colonial people in the Roanoke colony. And so like, I want like a story from that perspective, like where he's living with native people and like learning how to be Captain America in a pre-America kind of society.
Sure.
And so I thought that like, you know, when Scarlet Witch brought her there to save our world, I thought it was just going to be like a, you know, there's some worldly threat, like a Victor Von Doom kind of like big threat that she's going to take care of, but then they're not going to be able to like necessarily get her back to her planet or her home or whatever. Like something happens and it causes the, the ripples to start happening because of the way they brought her in.
Okay.
But it turns out it was just that Steve punched the stone.
You say that so disappointedly.
You were like waiting on some deep lore explanation.
Yeah, like I wanted there to be some sort of like, oh, we caused this problem ourselves, but no, it's just that Steve punched the time stone. You don't punch the time stone, Steve. Damn it.
You can't punch everything, Steve. Sometimes you got to do other kinds of attacks.
You can punch Nazis. You can always punch Nazis.
Yeah, for
don't
sure.
Punch the time stone.
Yeah. I did love when he hit the Red Skull, who was the executioner, in the back of the head, and he and Bucky had that moment where they're like, ah!
Yeah. Yes. Oh my god. There was so much to love in this episode, mm-hmm. and like the things that were like kind of radiating in from other realities, like where Happy is, you know, the chief guard or whatever, and like when he gets mad, he becomes that purple Hulk version. Mm-hmm. And like there was no precedent for that in this verse.
I actually did some research about that character because when we talked about when we did the coverage for episode 3, I kind of called him like the Waluigi of Hulks. But I was curious. I was like, is this just something, you know, the What If creators pulled out of their hat, or are they referencing something? And sure enough, Happy Hogan in comics, he appeared as the Freak a couple of times, and I guess he had some like genetic disorder, and to try and cure him, Tony hit him with a cobalt ray, and sure enough, he turns into the Freak like 3 or 4 times.
A cobalt ray?
A cobalt ray, yes. Cobalt, I don't know how that works. But.
Like the metal, or the precious metal.
You tell me.
Oh my god. Okay.
There it is.
Sure, totally.
Comics, man. Just put any kind of sciencey sounding word in front of a ray, and you get superpowers.
Yeah.
That's how it works. Or you get like an engine to run anything, like Galaxy Quest had the beryllium sphere.
Yeah, it did.
Right.
Man, I loved this episode. I loved it opening on just Loki reading Shakespeare badly.
Oh, mm-hmm. It was so great, though.
And the whole rest of the episode, he's bragging about his new role of Iago and how it's the, you know, he's the star of the new play. And it's really, really good. Just very Loki.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, it's great. You know, there's a lot of subtext to it. Yeah. it's really about Iago. Like, it's, you know, you would think it's about, it's about Iago.
Exactly.
Really, and I love that the girls weren't like doting on him. They were just kind of like, oh god.
Right.
He just won't shut up about this.
Yeah, the sense that everyone's kind of fed up with this Prince Loki, because he's like, I'm acting here, and Thor's like, this is not acting. Spare me.
And when Peggy was like, you're a bigger drama queen than your brother.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, bless.
Thank you.
Now that is too far.
Yeah, those interesting that they kind of made Thor an antagonist for this episode. Just straight up, he's the king who, you know, is off. He's off about who the bad guy is, and he's chasing mm-hmm. down Peggy and Rogers. And I just thought that was a lot of fun. And I just enjoyed Rogers as like Rogers Hood and Ant Man, Ant Man over there, just like food obsessed, just so good. And like just all the swashbuckling, just so good.
I love swashbuckling.
There was a moment I was upset when we got the setup about, like, you need to find a thief, and then it transitions to an arrow landing in the top of the carriage, and I was like, okay, we're going to see Hawkeye as Robin Hood, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they show Steve, and I was disappointed, but all that disappointment evaporated the second he was called Rogers Hood, and I was like, yes, that is so good. I will accept Rogers Hood, and let's go with this.
I'll take Rogers Hood. That's fine.
Yes.
This is a decent consolation.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. So many of the great character designs. I love the Destroyer Knight.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The Destroyer, but with, like, knight-like armor, and just already looks like that in the 616, and just, like, stepping forward with a more ornate version of the Destroyer was so rad.
Mm-hmm. I really want, like, that Destroyer armor, like, as a figure, like a statue. Sure. I want that just to, like, have in the background here. Like,
there's
I want that.
So many things from this season that I would love to see, like, good figure of, and have, you know, set up in my room or whatever.
I want replica armor of that so that I can be the Destroyer.
Yeah.
There we go. That's what it is.
Be the destroyer you want to see in the world.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Thanks, at Gandhi.
At the mention of armor, Jeff, you mentioned Dr. Doom earlier on in the episode as the potential threat. But when they first showed Hulk as like the man in the mask, I was like, oh, the visual like allusion to Doom there was really great.
Yeah. It was. I was thinking, here we go. Here's Doom. No, it's not Doom.
I love that. The monster in the Iron
Mask. I kept
expecting
them to expand it, you know, because like the witch breeds. Doom was a big thing in the comic one.
Okay.
Just like there were so many other little aspects, and like when Gaiman wrote it, he wove in like bits of like actual history, like Queen Elizabeth and King James of Scotland. I think it was James the First of Scotland. Like when Elizabeth died and James took over, like there was all of that happening, like actual history of the world that he was just like, let's just weave some Marvel into it. And there we go.
Yeah.
And they didn't really do that in this one. It was just kind of like, what if we just took Marvel stuff and just dropped it there?
Yeah.
And like, I'm okay with that. Cause they, you know, they had 30 minutes to work with. Like,
sure.
There's not a lot of time to tell that huge story. You know, Neil Gaiman had, you know, eight issue comic run. And then there were like a bunch of extra tie-ins and stuff to it. Like, he had some time to let that story work itself out.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. It sounds like there's a lot of, you sound like you enjoyed it, but there's a lot of things you were disappointed they didn't include. Like, it sounds like reading the 1602 is great, and people should do it, but maybe not before they watch this episode.
Yeah.
Well, read it after as, like, expanded
material. Watch the episode,
material.
Get inspired to go read the comic.
Yeah.
Because, like, and it's something that I've been meaning to, like, to mention and to bring up consistently and talk about maybe in like a YouTube video or something. I don't know, but it's like, we as fans have to temper our expectations of things. And like, they haven't brought in the mutants and X-Men, and like, they haven't really fully established that. They haven't established the Fantastic Four in the MCU. Like,
so yeah,
all of these things.
None of that was a reasonable expectation for a What If episode.
Like, right. Like, none of that is reasonable for this program. So like, my hoping that happened was like, it was a little like, oh, maybe, but I don't expect it at all.
Right.
Ah, dang. It could have been fun. Yeah. Dang. But I still like what I got.
And that's the key. That's what I always kind of say. Like, expectations are fine as long as you don't let those expectations rule over your enjoyment of what's actually presented. But I wanted to ask what you guys thought about Tony, because I really like Tony's interactions with Peggy, and I kind of love how like slowly but surely we're learning more about what like Peggy's version of the list looks like, because she referenced RoboCop earlier on in the season, and then she talks about the flux capacitor in this one. He's just like, give me more. It's opium to my ears. And I challenge the listeners out there, if somebody
words.
Can write in a review and call the MCU cast opium to their ears, you win.
I loved that. Like, God, I love your made up words. I need more.
I love your made
and she
up
just
words.
Says flux God, capacitor.
So good. There was a point in the comic where Doctor Strange had a similar thing where he was talking to the Watcher, and Uatu was like telling him all about like what's gonna happen, things that are coming, like all of the ripples throughout time. And like, this version of Stephen Strange is from 1602, so like that kind of science isn't there for him yet. And he's just like, all of your words are just words. I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's funny.
It was great.
Yeah, it was really funny to hear like Tony, you know, being the science whiz, but being from 1602, it's just an interesting, it's just an interesting juxtaposition of him, like, being this kind of the smartest engineer in the room, but not knowing the science, you know?
Right. Yep. Ignore that. It's decorative.
I love that. Decorative. Ignore it. It's decorative.
There's always, when you tear something apart and put it back together and you have screws left and you're like, those are clearly not necessary.
I really liked Hulk smash the.
Yes. Oh my God. I kept expecting. No, that's what it was. Like, I was expecting it to be Peggy. That was the anomaly. But then when Happy became the freak and then started speaking like so crazy,
so
all the time.
You ne'er do well, you rapscallion, you profound.
Shut thine mouth!
Mm-hmm.
I loved that. But when he was doing all of that, I was like, oh, it's clearly happy. Like, this is happy from that verse here. Like, he came here and he just embraced it. Like, he just loves it. It's clearly like what happened.
Having his Ren Faire moment.
Yeah, they were letting Jon Favreau have a lot of fun, and he was definitely just channeling his inner Sheriff of Nottingham.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I loved when Steve cut his feather, and that was...
I am so sorry.
I am so sorry. I'll buy you another feather. Yeah, it was interesting, because it's kind of a... Like, you know, it being all Avengers, there's not really a traditional villain in this, and it's a main player in the story. It's just the heroes falling on different sides, and I thought that was a lot of fun. Sort of a Civil War-esque fight at the end, because there's just a bunch of heroes going at each other.
No, I mean, that's kind of what it is in, you know, in the comics as well. It's like this, all this crazy stuff is happening, everybody wants to blame everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the world is ending, it's clearly your fault. I didn't do anything wrong, so clearly it's you.
Yeah, totally. I also really liked Hulk's signal.
Yeah. Another line that stuck out to me is after we had the initial, you know, Rogers Hood and his merry men pull off the heist, and they come back, and the first line of the scene is Scott Lang, like, "Good thieving, everyone. Chin chin." Good. And I'm like, I am going to use chin chin in real life.
Ails all around.
Ails all around. Chin chin. Oh man, one thing that annoyed me, and I loved it when I think it was the freak, I guess, threw the Hulk into the organ.
Okay,
and it just like punctuated the smash with the big organ sound.
Hulk threw the freak into the organ.
Oh, okay, but then the freak threw the organ back.
Yeah,
and it was punctuated with an organ sound. That's not how organs work. You have to be connected to the pipes. Like, if you throw someone at an organ, maybe it makes a sound. If you throw just the organ part, there's nothing to make the sound when it hits, because the sound comes from the big pipes.
The reverberation in the pipes.
Yeah.
Right.
So when he threw it back and it made a sound, I was like, that's not how organs work.
So that makes his line there make even less sense, too, because he says the pipes are calling.
They want their organ back.
Yeah. If they're calling, they're calling for the organ.
Oh, so then it does make sense.
Yeah. It makes more sense now.
Yeah. Good job, Happy.
Thanks, Matt, for really, like, bringing that in.
Yeah, we went full circle on that one.
Yeah. You made it better. You made it so much better.
I have at least a rudimentary understanding of how organs work now.
Not all of them.
True.
But musical ones, sure.
Gallbladders, who needs them?
Appendices? I don't know, man.
Well, there's also some interesting stuff with the Watcher in this episode, and just like interesting stuff in general that like is sort of the bigger picture of what the season's heading towards, and like when
it's a good thing
the
I'm
Watcher
still
says there are worlds in the multiverse simply meant to die, and there's just like, and Peggy's like, I don't accept that, you know, and he's like, what if this, and she's like, what if,
right?
Which I was like, ah, I get that reference.
Did the thing.
I understood that reference.
So, like, I don't know. It's setting up this idea that like Peggy's gonna fight for the worlds that need it, regardless of what Uatu is willing to like stand and watch. You know, that was cool. That struggle in general, and like what is getting involved do, and how can you measure the consequences of what you may do when you get involved? You know.
I love also that, like, because she has, or this is my headcanon, I'm assuming, because she has interacted with the Watcher already, now she just kind of sees him when he shows up to watch her.
Mm-hmm.
She's just like, oh, hey, guy, there you are.
Oh, yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah. That was neat. I hear you. He's like, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, it took Ultron destroying every other life form in his universe in order for there to be like silence enough for him to be like, I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really love that moment too, because like we often see the Watcher like on the horizon or on the skyline or something like that and get the sense that he's like, you know, proceeding over everything but not getting involved. But when Peggy says like, if you're not going to help me, then get out of my way, and she proceeds to just run through him, I just love the imagery there, because like so often we see him part of the proceedings but not being involved, and like it kind of gave me the sense of how kind of like useless he is. Like he is standing in her way, but he really doesn't do anything because he chooses to not get involved. So I thought that was nice imagery to show her agency versus his complacency.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
She's the tech charger.
And speaking of, like, this is the second time this season she has said, Steve, I can't lose you again. And then has to lose him again. And that's those are piling up, you know, the times where she says she can't lose him again and then loses him. It's rough.
We never get our happy ending, but he says somewhere out there we do, which just harkens to the final scene of the Infinity Saga proper.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, good call. Oh. Good call. All right. Well, that's about all I got in my notes. And I really liked this episode. I think it's a really just fun, trip through this like interesting version of the verse, and a lot of great characters and a lot of cool call outs to things that have happened already this season. I keep thinking, you know, we talked about whether maybe the Kahori episodes would lead to this, or maybe what would lead to this episode. It ends up as just a completely different universe, you know,
and it's all because Steve punched the time stamp.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Don't, damn it, Steve.
Don't go punching Infinity Stones.
just stick to the faces and the chest that you're used to.
anybody else got anything on this one?
I'm good.
Me too.
We reduced it to TLC. I think we're okay.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too. Time. I see what you're trying to do.
Space, reality.
Time, limitless, chaos. I don't know. TLC?
That's also true.
Trying to think of things. Okay. Well, we'll be back really quick tomorrow, if you're in the main feed, and quicker on the Patreon. If you want to go to patreon.com/MCUcast, we're trying to get these up as quick as we can. They should all be up the evening we're recording them now. But they'll be dropping in the feed once per day. So the next one will be up tomorrow. And we'll be back soon. Hey, Jay Scotty, tell the people where they can find you online.
Please check out Animation Deliberation. It's the podcast that takes action, animation, and cartoons seriously, but not too seriously. So if you like this conversation we've been having about What If, that's the place to listen to all the discussions about animated action content.
Sweet. Please check that out. Check that out. And we'll be back very soon with more. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you to all of our supporters on patreon.com/MCUcast. You are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.